Before we get back to the show, I want to tell you about another podcast from our promotional partners at CBC. The 1950s and 1960s saw a wave of radical movements. Recall, How to Start a Revolution explores the rise and fall of the FLQ in Quebec and Canada, a showdown that dissolved into crisis. By October 1970, there were soldiers in the streets, kidnapping, and terror in the headlines. Listen to the stories of that time through the people who lived it. The bomb disposal expert, the survivors, their families, and the radicals themselves. You can listen to Recall on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new memorial will be dedicated in Washington this evening to President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who served as a 34th president and the supreme commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force in Europe during World War II. As Jeffrey Brown reports, the four-acre memorial comes to fruition after 20 years, an internal controversy over its design, and at a time when memorials generally are being re-examined. The story is part of our arts and culture coverage, Canvas.
It's a sprawling tribute to the man known as Ike, Republican president from 1953 to 1961, and five-star general who planned and executed the World War II invasion of Normandy. The memorial is situated in a prime but crowded spot within sight of the nation's capital. Across the street from the Smithsonian Institution's Air and Space Museum and National Museum of the American Indian, directly in front of the U.S. Department of Education. The solution chosen to set it off from that 1961 box-style building, a steel tapestry representing an abstract view of the Normandy cliffs, especially vivid by night. It's based on a drawing by the man who designed the memorial, famed architect Frank Gehry. Gehry, now 91, is renowned for buildings such as the Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao, Spain, Walt Disney Hall in Los Angeles, the New World Center in Miami Beach. But he had never designed a memorial, nor had he designed any structure in Washington, D.C.
My first reaction was, why would I want to go to Washington and get involved with all of that? I realized how impossible that site was to manage because it had traffic. It had three office buildings. You couldn't put something in front of them easily.
But Gehry realized he could play to that environment, nestling a monument to Eisenhower amid government entities that Ike, as president, was responsible for helping bring about. The Department of Education, the Federal Aviation Administration, and what is now known as Health and Human Services.
That became powerful to consider, that here he was being placed in the milieu of his accomplishments, represented by these three office buildings.
But critics, including many in the Eisenhower family itself, were not supportive of the early architectural style, wanting a more traditional approach to what Gehry had in mind. He says they were
trying to derail a modernist view of a memorial in Washington. They thought it should be historicist and classical. I tried to respect classical, actually. The columns are a symbol of government buildings, and so I used them to hold the tapestry.
Gehry's modifications won over the family, including grandson David Eisenhower. An historian who teaches at the University of Pennsylvania, he served on the Memorial Commission.
Well, my idea for it, because I think the memorials need to convey something, is that Dwight Eisenhower was a part of a great collective effort in the 1940s, and that is America's effort in World War II. And he was very much a part of that, and he was also typical of the American who had this experience and joined in this great enterprise. His greatest speech, I believe, was probably at the Guildhall on June 12, 1945, where he was accepting the freedom of London. I come from the heart of America.
I come from the very heart of America, and the town where I was reared are far separated from this great city.
The memorial includes a statue of the boy from Abilene by sculptor Sergei Eilenbekov.
Barefoot boy from...
It was those Abilene. Roots that grabbed Gehry as well.
That was powerful for me, and I went to Abilene and saw where he was buried and saw the community he lived in. and saw the bedroom he lived in with his other two brothers. It wasn't very big, very modest. Everything was super, super modest. It was just a lot of things I believed in.
Washington is a city of monuments and memorials, including Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln. More recently, the Vietnam Memorial opened in the 1980s, FDR in the early 90s, World War II in the 2000s, and the Martin Luther King Memorial in 2011. And the building continues. A memorial to Native American veterans is being constructed in the shadow of the Capitol. And a World War I memorial is about to be completed not far away. But the Eisenhower Memorial also opens at a very tense time for the nation, with a very different kind of Republican president and a focus on the history that statues and memorials purport to honor.
I think we're in a completely different moment than when we started. We need to have a pause. We need to take a moment to think about it.
Brown University visiting professor and historian Renee Ader has studied and written on the role of monuments and memorialization.
That's important that he is acknowledged. But we have limited space in this city for monument building, and we need to think about who gets to be in those spaces as we proceed. The monumental sculpture certainly plays into that idea of the great man sculpture. As we start to think about future memorialization efforts, we need to actually more broadly include communities in that discussion about who gets to be in public space, who gets to be represented, and the types of artists that are going to do the representation.
I asked David Eisenhower about these broader and urgent questions of history and memory.
My philosophy is that memorialization is something that reveals us at any given time. And so I think memorialization is a process that is renewed. So when you dedicate a memorial, I think that you are investing or gambling in a sense on the future, that the message that a memorial conveys will have a kind of timeless quality to it.
The opening of this new memorial then offers another chance to consider the nation's larger legacy. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown.